This is the story of our Lord Jesus as he returns to the home of Mary and Martha, whose brother Lazarus has died. Our Lord was on a preaching trip up north. Word came to him that Lazarus was sick, and the Lord said, "We're not going back yet." And then eventually the Lord said, "He sleeps," and the disciples said, "Well, Lord, if Lazarus is sleeping, then he'll be well." And then the Lord plainly told them, "He is dead." And the Lord delayed his going so that Lazarus could die, and then he could come on the scene. We pick up the story in verse 17 of chapter 11 of John. "Then when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, that's just under 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, 'Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to you.' And Jesus saith unto her, 'Your brother shall rise again.' And Martha said unto him, 'I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' And Jesus said unto her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were to all outward appearances dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' She saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the anointed, the Son of God, which should come into the world.' And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, 'The Master is come, and he calls for you.' As soon as she had heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, 'She goes into the grave to weep there.' And then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, 'Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said unto him, 'Lord, come and see.'" And then the shortest verse in the Bible, and one of the only 3 times in the New Testament that our Lord is recorded as crying. See, men aren't supposed to cry, but it's all right, men. We're big boys now. We don't cry. We're big boys. But Jesus Christ, the man of all men, wept. And it's all right to cry. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Why, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Couldn't he have done that? Where was he?" And Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Christ is getting people ready for his own resurrection about a week later, by showing them what's happening here. But Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. A land of heat and no embalming." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto you that if thou wouldst believe, that thou shouldst see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe and that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus! Come forth!" And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Our Heavenly Father, loose us and let us go. Remove the death clothes of blindness of sight and spirit and heart, infirmity of body, weakness of mind and spirit, thou resurrecting Christ. Amen and amen. Jesus Christ was intensely practical. And I want to speak to you this morning on man's permanent need, resurrection, and life. Jesus was intensely practical. He talked about money and marriage and investments and farmers and real estate and broken homes and sons that wanted to leave their fathers and inheritances. He taught also about matters of life and death. And he talked about life and death because it matters. And Jesus never taught about life and death out of theory. He taught from it and about it out of experience. And I won't go into it, but I want you to know that there is more evidence that Jesus Christ came back from the dead than there is for any other ancient fact. All I say is, come to me with any story of any ancient story, and we'll look at it with the same justice that we give it to the Scriptures. For further information, see Josh McDowell's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, end of quote. Jesus Christ never taught about life and death academically, and so he becomes, because of his experience, the authority on life and death. Notice, please, that there are only three kinds of life that may be experienced, and Jesus Christ experienced them all. Number one, he experienced eternal life with the Father that was without beginning and had no ending as God the Son. Number two, he came down to earth and lived as a man, pure, total human life. Number three, he went back into heaven as a resurrected man with a resurrected body, not just brought back from the dead with the same body like Lazarus had, but with the first fruits of the dead, the first fruits of the resurrection, which means he had a human glorified body, which no one has received yet, and we receive it in the resurrection, and he went back into heaven with that glorious body, and we have the promise that we shall receive a body like unto his own. And therefore, because of his life in eternity past, therefore because of his utterly human life on earth, and therefore because of his resurrected human life in heaven, along with his deity, Jesus Christ is the authority on life and on death. Now our Lord comes to a very practical situation. We've come to a funeral. We've come to crying and tears. We've come to weeping Mary and weeping Martha and all her friends in, and the friends come in. The Jews know how to weep. I'll tell you, they know how to mourn. Back in our Lord's day, to show honor to the departed dead, they even hired professional mourners to come in who would mourn and really weep for you. And it was no facade. Theirs was made up grief, but to show the respect for the dead, you hired people to come in and add their weeping to it. Now, in this case, that wasn't done because there appears to be enough friends who are there weeping and trying to comfort Mary and Martha. And here comes our Lord Jesus, and he who is the authority on life and death comes to a funeral. And Mary says, Lord, if you'd been here. Then Martha says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And our Lord picks it up from there, and he says, your brother shall rise again. And Martha says, oh, I know, Lord. I know in the resurrection, the last day, I know that. But there's no comfort for the bereaved in that. My brother shall rise again the last day. That's way down there. Who knows? Centuries. I'm here. I'm hurting now. I got a dead brother, my only brother. And that's way off there. There's no comfort, dear ones, in a far-off event that you shall see your brother in the resurrection day. I'm hurting now. It's not related to my present grief. What comfort is that now? I'm hurting. That's a matter of future destiny, like birth or death. I have no control. It's up there, but Lord, I'm here now. And that's how it is with many people. And I, like any pastor, have funeral after funeral. And though I try to speak of future comfort and even present comfort, unless they're tuned in to something way over there, I'm saying the right words. I'm saying the 23rd Psalm. I'm using John 14. And I'm talking about the resurrection. But it's way over there. And it doesn't seem like much comfort for them now. If they were listening, they would see the comfort is now. But they're like Martha. Lord, I know he'll rise again the last day of the resurrection, but Lord, now. And then Jesus turns to her. He's going to combat this distant comfort thinking. He says, Martha, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And what the Lord was trying to say is, look, Martha, I'm going to reach out there and I'm going to take hold of the last day with both hands and bring it right in here and say, the last day is facing you. I am the last day, and I make the last day the now day. You know, if I want to tell you that I'm a pastor here, one of them at least, I could say to you, I'm the pastor here. Or I could say, I myself am here, the pastor. I myself am here. And if you could see in the original, the Lord, you see, he says, ego, a me, ego, a me, I am. And he says, I am, twice, I am myself, the resurrection. Not something future way down there. You'd think about the last day, Martha. You think about the last day, Mary. The last day standing in front of you. I'm here. I am the last day. And so, Martha, Mary, I can take that event in time way down there and bring it right up in here because I made time and I live above time as well as in time. And furthermore, Mary, Martha, I'm throwing this in the category of faith because do you believe this, that I am the resurrector and the life? If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. And if you don't, you won't. And every one of you here this morning have been given by God the capacity to believe, to trust, to commit yourself to unite yourself to anything and any movement and any organization, any group of people, any goal that you want to, because God has given to you as part of being in his image the capacity to believe, to commit, to trust, to entrust, and to unite yourself to by faith. You do it in marriage. You do it in contracting. You do it in driving your car. You do it in crossing a bridge every day. The capacity to believe, whether it's a chef or a doctor or a coach or whatever you want. Lord, in that last day, the Lord says, no, I am. Not the last day, I am. That's right now. I am the resurrector, Martha. If you'd been here, Lord, he wouldn't have died. I am here. Yeah, but you weren't here in time. I am. I'm here. I am resurrection. I am resurrector. The last day's here. Martha, you are clinging to a doctrine and not to a person. I know, Lord, that in the last day he shall rise. That's in Trinity Church's bylaws, paragraph 6, section 3 on doctrine, and I believe that. And the Lord says, Martha, you're clinging to a doctrine instead of a person. And let me ask you this morning, how many people believe all the creed and believe all the doctrine, the Apostles' Creed, and everything else? Now let me ask you, if you're clinging to a creed and a piece of paper instead of a person, you're like Martha, and you've got to see that he wants you to unite yourself with him, not the creed. The creed may be correctly and true about him, but you've got to, I am the resurrection and life. Do you believe and impart and commit yourself totally to me or to that statement of faith, Martha? And there are going to be hundreds of thousands and millions of people going to churches today who have united themselves to a piece of paper called a creed. And I'm not against them. We have a very minimal statement of faith here. It must be spelled out. It has to be. It's the way to do it. And the scriptures are clear. And so we're committed to these things. And mentally committed to it and heart committed to it with heart experience. But if you walked in here today and you believe all these things, the Lord says to you, do you believe me? I am the resurrection. You believe about me. Now you must believe me. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God in your life. And if you won't, you won't. But I've given you the capacity to believe. And he's saying, Martha, now look, dry your tears. Now look, there are two realities before you. There is death and tomb where your brother is. And there is the one standing before you. There are two realities, myself and death. Now, where are you focusing? Where are you focusing? And your problem you're looking at and the heartache you're looking at, what I want to know, now, Martha, I am and I'm here. And my confession is this. I do not deny the reality of my circumstances. I deny the finality of them. Lazarus is dead. Don't go say, no, he's not dead. He's dead. I don't deny the reality of my circumstances. Whatever's there is real. But I deny the finality of them. And he's saying, death, you bet he's there. He's dead and he's cold and he's in that tomb. I am resurrection. Look over here. If you keep focusing on all your problems and focusing on all your heartaches and focusing on all the rips and hurts and scars in your life, you'll die a bitter, hurt, crunched up, prune-like being. And you can do that. And what's more final than death? And what's more painful than death? The separation of someone you really love, and they're gone. And the Lord says, yes, that's true. I am. I am here. I am resurrection. I am life. Where are you looking? And that's your confession. Mine. He's here. And the greater reality is Jesus Christ. I am resurrection. And some of you here must understand with joy that in the dead relationship you have with your children, the dead relationship you have with your husband, the dead relationship you have with your job, the dead relationship you have to life, and the dead relationship you have with yourself, you don't feel you're worth a nickel, and your folks told you you weren't, and the coach chewed you out this past week in spring football because you missed this tackle, you're no good, the boss put you down, pretty soon you say, I'm not worth anything, and God doesn't think I'm worth anything. Oh, now listen, which reality are you looking at? Of how much more value are you than a sparrow? And I feed the sparrows every day. Martha, the last day is the present day. I'm looking right at you. I am the one who makes the last day the last day. I'll say when the last day comes. And I have appointed a day. And God hath appointed a day by which he will judge the world in righteousness by this man Christ Jesus, who he's brought up from the dead. You see? Now, where are you looking today? You pondering your heartache and your sorrow and your separation and your wound. And you've been wounded. Lazarus died. He was really dead. There was real grief in Martha and Mary. There was a real funeral. They really carried him there and they really put him in a cave and they sealed him up and he was there stone cold and stone dead. And then Jesus comes on the scene and says, look over here. And any life that anyone's to have is going to be when they get away from looking at that problem, that heartache, and start looking at Jesus and put their focus there. And the Lord says, do you believe? If you believe, I'll show you glory. And the old song says he was there all the time, you know. He that is believes in me is united in me. It can never, in the real sense, taste death, for I am life. And Jesus is saying, now look, dear one, I came to this earth from there. I'm here and I'm there. And I came to this earth, and when I came down and I went to the cross, I was united to your sins at the cross. I took on all your lying and cheating and swearing and drunkenness and arrogance and pride and indifference and bitterness and perverseness, all that you did, your drunkenness, and I took on your silky sins and your gutter sins. I took on your ignorance. I took on your enlightenment. I took on your intellectual pride and scorn of things spiritual. I took on everything that hell could wash at me and everything you created. I took that cup and I drank it down, and I united myself to your sins. And because I united myself to your sins, I became a sinner with your sins. The only sins he had were mine and yours, and the only righteousness we have is his. And so, but since he united himself to us and to our sins, then he took it and pinned sin and killed death dead. Then he came back out and offered himself to us and said, now, you unionize yourself with me, and because I won there, you win here. And my life that defeated this is now in you, and you live out for me, and you win here. Because I won there, and now I'm in you, and I will live that victory that I won here out in you. Merry Christmas.
All right?
That's right. Let me just show them this for a minute. Put on slide one. I have to see if I got time for this.
See up there?
He was there. Christ was crucified.
Matthew 27:35. Christ was buried, Matthew 27:60. Christ was quickened, made alive, Matthew 28:6. Christ is raised and ascended, Luke 24:51. Christ is seated and reigning in heaven, Hebrews 1:3. He was there. That is the historical event of Scripture, the resurrection, and the whole basis of Christianity in Christ Jesus. Imagine that. He was there. We all believe it. Praise God. Christ the Lord is risen today. Amen. You bet. You know what? You know what? You won't believe it, but you will. You were there. And I've got a verse of Scripture for every time and everyone to show you you were there. Now look, he didn't have to go there. Why would he go to the cross? He didn't have to go there, obviously, but he went there. He didn't need to get buried. Why would he die for his sins? He didn't have any. He didn't have to be made alive again as humanity, taking the torments of hell, but he did. He didn't have to come back from the dead. He's always been alive. Why would he come back from the dead? He didn't have to be seated by the Father's right hand again. He was always there. Then what in the world is he doing? He's doing it because you are there. Next one, please. We are crucified with Christ. When? When he went there. That's the Scripture. Jesus said you were there. You were buried with him, Romans 6:4. Jesus said you were there. Now, wait a minute. I wasn't there. He went there as you. He went there as you, dear one, for you. You went there in him. Now, when you come to things spiritual, kick two things right out of your head. Time and distance. It doesn't exist in the realm of spirit. And just to help you at that point, when our ragtag colonial army finally defeated the British at Yorktown, and the British general came and surrendered his gilded sword to the colonial ragtag forces, the colonies were free, they were free, they were free, and you and I were also free. We're free today because of that, and we weren't even there, we weren't even born, we weren't even thought of, but we are the recipients of it today. I'll tell you why. Because many historical facts and events are not only historical facts, they are moral facts. And a moral fact does not have a calendar date on it, nor can it be located in Colorado or any other place. You weren't at Yorktown. You weren't even born. You weren't even thought of. This area was a wilderness. But what was done there has affected your life and mine to this very hour and always will. What Christ did at Calvary, time and distance, it was a historical fact, but it's a moral fact, and you don't limit moral facts. It's still operative through Christ. You were there. You were crucified with Christ. You were buried with him. You came alive in him. You were raised with him, and you're seated with him. And that's the provision he gives. And see, you're crucified with him, and now as soon as you repent and believe, you're going to be resurrected. And this will be the best Easter you ever had, because you see, anyone that walks into church on Easter Day and hasn't been resurrected yet, that's the very first thing that should happen to them. That's the first thing that should happen to them. Well, that's what Easter's all about. Have you been Eastered yet? That's what Christ has for you, an Easter experience. You've got to be Easterized. Well, how's that happen? I didn't say osterized, I said Easterized. When you repent and believe and give yourself to Christ, he already went there for you, but now he can personally give to you what you need to have, faith, forgiveness, eternal life, and you have it there when you're crucified. Then you'll understand that he was buried for you and was quickened for you and gave you eternal life, and that you're raised up with him, and his spiritual relationship is to make you a person in union with him. And you come in union with faith at the top, and you come in union with faith so that when you're buried with Christ, that's a whole story, and I won't get into it. Each one of those are sermons all the way around the circle, but I'm just showing you that when you came into union with Christ and when you give yourself to Christ in union with him, you become a recipient of all that he was because he went there for you. He didn't need to go, so guess who went? You did. Who needed to go? You and I needed to go there, but we weren't there, so he went for all of us. And just like the commanding general of our ragtag colonial army acted on our behalf for children and people yet unborn, Jesus Christ died and rose again for people yet unborn that they may enter into the victories, enter into the benefits, enter into the power and life of this risen Christ who said, come unto me in union life with me. Oh, dear branches in the vine, this is branch life. Oh, hallelujah to God. That is Christianity, which is nothing less than the life of Christ, the person of Christ in you, the hope of glory, by his precious indwelling Holy Spirit. Thank you. See, the whole character of what we call death has now been changed. Oh, yes, you will go through the dropping of the blood pressure, the stopping of the beat of the heart, respiration. And Christ, he finally gives a little dignity to it by calling it death. But he says, you see, death is the doorway between life and life. And that now death has lost all its real impact. You see, there's two kinds of death. There's a physical death I've just described. But then there's a second death, which is separation from God. And see, what Jesus Christ did was to suffer death one and death two. That you never understand or have to go through death two, only one. Death, too, is separation from God. When he cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He suffered the torment of being torn and wrenched asunder from his union life with his Father in his humanity and cast into hell for 6 hours from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the cross. I tell you again that in those 6 hours, he suffered the pains of hell intensively in 6 hours, that's an eternity of suffering that would occur apart from that if he weren't God and man. And he suffered that, so now all we have left is death one, but not death two. And he just barely lets us use that word, he's dead, but he liveth. And that's the offer. He says, now look, if anybody in this room is not going to die, you can turn me off, but if you are, then you should be listening. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. There's another invitation being issued every day by the grave. And the grave is saying, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. Scripture even says there are some things that are never satisfied, one of which is the grave that says, I thirst, I hunger, more, 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 more. And Jesus says, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. Why will you perish? The very last, almost last verse in the New Testament is, come unto me. And the church says, come. And the Holy Spirit says, come. And the body of Christ says, come. And everyone's saying, listen, heaven says, come, come. Christ says, come, come. The grave says, come, come. And Satan says, come, come. And God comes in invitations coming to you from all over the world and all over life. And you must say, ah, what voice was that? It was the voice of Christ that drew me from within, arrested my attention, riveted my mind with these thoughts and truths, and then gave an impulse and said, reach out, obey, follow, commit. You see, death has separated Lazarus from his sisters, but not from Jesus. Think on that. Pure, pure human grief, understandable. And they're crying over their brother, he's gone, and Christ says, I'm the resurrection. He's separated from you, but not from me. Not separated from me. And let me point out to you that since you have a spirit, you're not just 180 pounds of high-class protoplasm out there. You have a spirit. You're not a cow. You're not a horse. You're not an animal. And you did not come from mud, slime, and time, a la evolution. If you want to believe that, that's your privilege. But don't even get me going on that because there's so much evidence to show it's theory and not fact. So be it. It takes more faith, and it'll take faith, as much faith or more faith to be evolutionist as it does to be a Christian. Now, because you have a spirit, that puts you in touch with the eternal world of spirit. All right? And therefore, in the world of Jesus, he lived in the world. He was, you know, he paid his bills, he mowed the grass, he caught fish, he ate, he did what he had to. But in the spirit realm, he also in that world, since he lived in that world as well, fully conscious of that world, which we are only dimly conscious of, but we have access to it by our spirits, Lazarus was there. He was not far away. But to Mary and Martha, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. And Jesus said, I am resurrection, I am. Why, Lazarus is not far away. I had him go, I'll bring him back. You talk about it. See, Christ said, I've got to show to you, I want to prove to you in the now that I am the destined raiser of dead in the future. So to let you really understand this, I'll do it with Lazarus, and I'll even do it to myself, and that's enough evidence for people. If they don't look at that, I cannot do any more than coming back from the dead myself and raising this man 4 days dead whose body is now a stench. He was separated from his sisters, but not from Jesus. I want to point something else out to you. That there is no more august or majestic matters that will come up in the last day that are coming up right now in your present Sunday day today. I'm going to repeat that. There are no new matters that are going to come up on the last day that are coming up in your life today. We know more than the last day. Well, yeah, the last day, man. Yeah, I guess there's life after death, but I don't know much about it. I've got guys that talk to me about it, but, you know, I'll take my chances. Everyone does the best they can. The last day, oh, yeah, up there, somewhere about there. See, how's the NFL doing? Let's see. Turn that day. The last day, well, yeah, we don't know much about it. It's over there somehow. But right now, I got to get back to the NBA playoffs, see how things are doing here. And I guess I'd like to know more about it, but, hey, when I was a little boy, back in ancient history, there was a little carnival, and for a nickel you could go to the little carnival, and it had all these strings, and you could, for a nickel, you picked a string, and the string went out over a table and down over the table. At the end of that string were some little 5 cent candy paper bags, and in those paper bags might be just anything. You just didn't know what was in it. It might be a little toy, a little candy, a little jackknife, but you didn't know the really good ones. So you put your nickel down and you took a string. You said, oh, what's way over there? What's over there? I don't know what's over there. Way over there. And we pull. What's in the bag? Oh, I don't know. Let's see. Oh, here it comes. What'd you get? I don't know. Oh, boy. Hey. Oh, woo, I got a jackknife. Hooray. And the fellow beside you says, I got a piece of candy. Who wants candy? That's just the breaks of the game. You don't know till you get the bag open over here. I don't know what's way over there. I don't know what's over there in the judgment. I just got a string on a bag, and one of these days it'll be pulled in, and I'll say, what's in the bag? Oh, I don't know. Repentance and faith and all that stuff, I didn't know that was in there. Well, too late now. Just breaks of the game. Listen, it's the other way around. Let me share with you. You got the bag in your hand, and God's got the string over there. And as life goes on, he's pulling you in the bag over there. He's pulling you over. And when you get the last day, you can look down and say, oh, I didn't know what was in there. You're going to know everything you put in that bag on the way over. I'm talking about the last day. The last day's in your hands. What's in that bag of life for you? Well, I got a couple of Corvettes, and I got some hot women, some hot cars, some hot magazines, and I make a trip down here, and I'm wrapped up in this and shoot dope, and I'm just, oh, I'm too nice. I'm a straight arrow. They all know I'm a straight arrow. I wouldn't make a problem. All my niceness is in that bag. I belong to this club, that club, and the Billy Club. I don't know what I'm doing. That's in the bag. It's all in the bag. So don't think, folks, when you leave this life and come over the last day, you say, oh, my, am I surprised. What you're putting into your life today is going into your bag. It's going to be the same thing, only when we get the last day, when we get before the Lord, it's all going to be magnified. If you love King Jesus back here and sang his praises, you'll be shouting and singing over there. If you say, oh, let me tell you a good one, Joe, you know, did you hear about Susie at the office? You know what she does? She goes to prayer meetings. Get a prayer meeting. Prayer meetings. Oh. I go to Playboy Club. She goes to prayer meetings. Oh, what a killer. Oh. Don't say anything, but Bill's reading his Bible. His Bible. Can you imagine? What a joke. These idiots, they go to church. not once a month, twice on Sunday. Oh, can you imagine? The fish are hitting an egg and oh my. Yeah, Lord, it's the last day. I'm here in the last day. What's in the bag? Oh, I don't know. I got some magazines. Is my word there? No? Keep looking. No word. What's that piece of paper down there? Oh, that one. Oh, it says, read it. Oh, it says, I threw this, read it. Trinity Church, April 22nd, Easter service. The man preached on Jesus, the resurrection and the life. He gave an invitation. What'd you do with it? What did you do with that? What are you going to do with it? Never mind the last day. The last day is today. 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 And what you're putting in today? Your job done under Jesus Christ. You know why your job's a drag? You're doing it for the paycheck and the boss and the promotion. You haven't seen that when you first relate to Jesus Christ and hear by his indwelling spirit, then you start to relate to your job. You start to relate to your wife, your kids, to life, to values. But when he's not there, you're trying to make sense out of this crazy mixed up world by things and people, all of which are as empty as you are without Christ in them. Lovely, sweet people for whom Christ died and whom he wants to live. He that believeth on me shall never die. I am the resurrector and the resurrection and the life. Not only will I raise you up, but to know me is to have imparted to you the very life of God himself. And inside that human frame of a resurrected body and inside the human frame of now, King Jesus waits to be invited in. In marvelous, immeasurable condescension, waiting for a little man to invite in a mighty God. How could he do such a humble thing? Because the cross was lower than that. And he who has gone to the depths has no problem with what's above it. Waiting for you. Can you imagine keeping God waiting? You may not know Albert Durer, but he was that German artist. You remember him when I talk about the praying hands, because you remember that. Well, he drew those hands and those pictures. And on his tombstone, they put three words. He is immigrated. Moved on to another land. The last day is determined by the present day. Present day. What's in your bag? What's going in there? Let us pray. Jesus stands before you with an empty life and says, I am life. He stands before you facing death and says, I am resurrection. He stands before you offering not a creed or a church, but offering you himself. And some of you have unionized yourself to a church or a denomination, to a creed, and I believe in all three in God's time and season, and have worked in all three, so I have no complaints. My only desire is this morning that no one here should have between them and Christ a church or a creed. What Jesus Christ is separate from and the founder of those that are truly scriptural churches and truly scriptural creeds. And one thing is sure, though there may be variation in Christendom, These things are sure, and these are the great mainsprings of Christianity. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, come in the flesh, suffered under Pontius Pilate, born of the Virgin Mary, raised again on the third day, sent into the right hand of God, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead, and today stands before you saying, I am life. I am resurrection. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. And whatever you put in the bag today is going to come out then. Don't think that one thing going in today will not come out then. And what you sow today will be reaped then. And the commitments you make now and continue with will be shown then. It is absolutely true, absolutely true. But this is a wonderful opportunity because, you see, Jesus stands before you while you're still alive. It's not as though you're in the grave and like Lazarus, he had to bring you back out of the grave by a special miracle. But you know, you're all alive by the grace of God. You're all alive by the same Jesus who said, I am life, and he's giving you your physical life. He's giving you your brains and your mind and your senses and your capacities. He's given you all of these things. Now he stands before you and says, now your spirit needs to be quickened and come alive, and that'll be your resurrection, and that'll be your Easter. That'll be your coming out of the dead spiritually when you make that abandonment to me, when you put yourself in union with me, when you commit yourself entirely to me. That's called saving faith. Having turned from your own way, which is repentance, you come into saving faith now. And then when I come into you, all the victories I won become your portion. And that's why he moving into you is your Christian life. But he will not tear at the hinges. He will not get a celestial lockpick to come in and make you open your heart against your will. The mystery of all is that God gave you free will. He'll take 9 steps towards you, but he cannot take the 10th. That is the dignity, the integrity, the honor of your own individuality given to you by the same Jesus Christ who stands before you and says, I am life and I am resurrection. Choose you this day. And as surely as Jesus Christ said, Lazarus, come forth, he's saying, Mary, come forth. Jim, come forth. Paul, come forth. Larry, come forth. Harriet, come forth. Christine, come forth. Marietta, come forth. Oh, my dear brother, my dear sister. Jesus said Lazarus come forth. If he hadn't, the whole place would have come forth. He specified to save this one man out of the dead. But today the Holy Ghost is saying, Jim and Mary and Paul and Kim and all you dear people, come forth. The name is addressed to you. Come forth from your death. Come forth from the being dead in iniquities and sin and your own selfishness and your greed and your own lifeless living. Come forth. And the Lord will say, take off the grave clothes and let them go free. I'll give them my life. And you're just going to start in as a baby Christian, but you'll start in and you'll be that child of God. Because you're going to, in unionizing faith, give yourself to him and become an heir and a recipient of all that Christ united himself to in death, pain, anguish, and health, and sickness, that we might have the benefits of his life. Precious, precious Savior. I want you very quietly, all of you, please, just to stand where you are very quietly, please. I would be a failure to my Savior and to your soul if I did not give you an opportunity for the Lord Jesus who said to Lazarus, come forth, for him to say to you, come forth, and let you come forth. And this is our custom from time to time here, and God has made it so that we're doing it every Sunday. If he said not to give an invitation, I wouldn't give one. He can do his own inviting. But when he says there's an opportunity to do, and I have the opportunity to share with you, and you've given me that beautiful privilege, I would be less than faithful to your souls and to the Savior to say, now, come forth, repent, and give yourself to Christ. We're not asking you to join a church. I wouldn't do that. I'm asking you to join yourself to Christ. I'm asking you to give up the keys to your life and the steering wheel to your car of life and say, come over and give your steering wheel to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, take over my life. Forgive me, and I thank you, you're taking me in. And he waits, and he says, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. I've been to hell and back for you. I've been through death and back for you. I've been to heaven and come down to you, and now I want to come in to you. Now, folks, that's heaven. That's all the Father can say, but that's all we need to have heard. And now the beautiful opportunity is for you to say, Father, Lord Jesus, I'm coming from death to life. I'm coming from a grave to heaven. I'm coming from purposeless living to give myself to you, and whether I scrub pots and pans or whether I command an army of 15,000 people, I do all to the name of Jesus Christ. Whether I raise 3 little children under 5, or whether I'm the president, I do my job as unto you. Oh, indwelling Christ, be my wisdom for this job. You're the purpose and you're the reason. That's it. going to pray. We're going to sing He is Lord. I'm going to come right down there. And those of you who are in your grave, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins and selfishness, awake now that sleepest in Christ will give thee light. And hear the voice of Christ saying, James, Mary, how do I know God's speaking to me? Because your attention is arrested in what I'm saying. Your mind is held to the truth. You feel a gripping on the inside, which is not Murdoch. It's the Holy Ghost saying gently, ever so gently, with a kind and gentle violence saying, come. Come. And you can walk out of here like Lazarus in the tomb, or you can walk out of here knowing you've come from death to life. And this is your opportunity, and I'm believing you'll do it as Christians are praying for the release of God to have His way in the lives of every one of us. We're going to sing, and I'll greet you right here and show you the Lord Jesus' love for you. We'll not force, push, press, nor keep you beyond your time, but this is a matter of life and death for you, and Jesus Christ is that wonderful, loving authority as we sing, You Come. For He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Maybe you're new this morning. Don't be timid. Jesus presents Himself to you and says, I am the resurrection, I am life. Maybe you've sat here for 10 weeks, 10 months, 3 years. This is the morning you're going to become a person resurrected in Christ. Born again, saved, converted, use any New Testament term you want. That's where it's at. Don't feel timid. Believe me, I'll tell you what, the grave is not timid about claiming you. There's no timidity in the grave. There's no timidity in death. And that's why Christ went right into the mouth of it, came right back out of it and says, I'm life. I'm resurrection. It's over here, not there, over here. Look upon me. That's what He's saying. And you come and say, Lord, take over. Best I know, take over. Clean up my life, forgive me my past sins, and starting in today, Lord, with You, that's where we are. That's resurrection. We're going to sing again. Someone break out. Our Lord, just cleanse this place, Lord, by Your precious blood. We plead the blood, the authority of Christ, to everyone to be free to do what they should do in You. Thank You for Your victorious name. Claim those, Lord. Call them just as they're Yours. You died for them. In Jesus' name. Now You come right out as we sing.
And for He is Lord.
Should you have been here? Should you have come? Do you wish that you would have come? Will there come a time that you wished you had come? Yes. Yes, it'll come. Well, will I have another chance? I don't know. I hope so. I don't know. The point is, the last day is today. And what one starts today determines the last day. So the last day being settled, I can live for today. Would you wish ever that you should have come and had come? Yes. Then now's the time to do it as we sing. For He is Lord. Oh, He is Lord. Right now it's better.
Shiva's cross.
Come. Come. Come unto me, all you that are weary, heavy laden. I don't care who you are, what you've done. Come. Just keep singing.
For he is Lord. Oh, he is Lord. He.
Come. Come.
He is Lord.
Come with your pride, come with your arrogance, come with your ignorance. You don't qualify or disqualify. You qualify by saying, Lord, here I am, take over. Don't let you or the devil get your eyes on some sin too great, some pride too monstrous, some sensitivity to what the boys at the office will say. I am life. The boys at the office don't have anything to offer you. Can anyone stand before you and say, I am life? Can anyone, your friends, stand before you and say, I am resurrection? No, no. And don't be pulled off by pride or prominence or name or money or education or lack of it. And Jesus loves you all, poured out his life for you all. He says, come, come, come. As we sing it again, you step right out.
For he is Lord. Oh, he is Lord.
Come now. Last call.
There's still time to come while I'm closing in prayer. Some are coming up. Others may come while I'm praying.
Elders, you'll come right after the service. In fact, elders, you can come now so you won't be caught in the traffic here. Elders, just step out, please. Some of those ladies have been helping us at the altar. I know it's an Easter day. If you have time, we'll appreciate it. There's always time for resurrection. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your voice through Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit is still saying, Lazarus, come forth, Tom and Mary and Charlie and Bill and Susie and Harriet, come. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes we don't recognize your voice, Lord, because we think it's going to be thunder and lightning or something like that or a vision, but really it's just that continuing tug on the inside that says, you should do this. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's come. And we don't care how varied the need. Jesus said, I am resurrection and I am life. And let this be their own personal Easter today, coming out of the grave clothes of death and iniquity and coming into union life with Christ. And by the precious Holy Ghost, the Lord taking up his residence within them today. Thank you, Lord. Now unto the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, blessed Trinity, unto them be everlasting praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember our concert ministry tonight at 6 o'clock.